I'm going to talk kind of plain to you today. The title of this message is Heart Faith. Heart Faith. We're going to talk about faith, what it is. The gift of God, a marvelous supernatural work of His grace in the heart. Will you listen to me for a little while? Just sit down there and listen to the message and weigh these things that I have to say on this subject, heart faith. Now, I've chosen as my text Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said to him, this is our Master speaking, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man answered, verse 24, straightway he cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now, what's this all about? Well, these are the words of a father who had brought his poor, sick, ailing son to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to him, Lord, if you can do anything, that's a strange question to ask the sovereign, omnipotent, almighty God, isn't it? If you can do anything, help us. And our Lord turned it around. And he said, the question is, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And that's when the man cried out, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe I can say today, I believe. I do believe. But I also must add with this man, Lord, help my unbelief. My faith is not perfect. Like the Apostle Paul said, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. I haven't laid hold upon that for which the Lord has laid hold of me. And I must continually examine my faith. Do you? Peter said that. He said, give diligence, brethren, to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fail. Again, Paul said in Corinthians, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith, not a faith, some faith, any faith, the faith. Know ye not your own selves? How that Christ dwelleth in you, except you're reprobate. And listen, every time we come to the Lord's table, Paul said, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Don't take these things for granted. Don't presume on God's mercy. Examine yourself. Don't be afraid of self-examination. Don't be afraid to take inventory. Don't be afraid to search your heart. I tell you this, death is too certain. Judgment is too sure. And eternity is too long for you to neglect these things and be presumptuous about them. You know what old John Newton said? This is the great preacher. Many of you have heard of John Newton. He wrote Amazing Grace. Great preacher of the gospel of many years ago. He said this, when I get to heaven, three things will amaze me. First, he said, I'll be amazed to see some people in heaven that I did not expect to see. Really didn't. And then he said, the second thing that will amaze me is I'm going to miss some folks that I thought would be there. And he said, the third and most amazing thing of all will be to find old John Newton himself in the presence of the Lord. Do you have that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude? Well, if you do, then you don't mind taking a look at heart faith, do you? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I want to take a good look at this matter of heart faith, the faith that saves. Now, listen to me and think about this now. Just don't get upset. Just think about it. See if what I'm saying is not true. Everything that goes by the name of faith is not heart faith. Everything that goes by the name of believing is not saving believing or saving faith. Throughout the Word of God, religious people had much that looked like faith that wasn't faith at all. There were a lot of religious people that produced a whole lot of things that looked like faith, that appeared to be faith, that made everybody around them think that they really knew God. I'll give you some examples. First of all, these Pharisees. They acknowledged God to be their Father. They said, listen, they looked at our Lord Jesus Christ and they said, we are not sinners. We are not born of fornication. God is our Father. We have one Father, even God. And you know what he said to them? This will shock you. He said, if you were of God, you'd hear me. You'd believe me. For God sent me. You're not of God. You're of your father, the devil. That's what he said to these. They claimed that God was their father. They were Israelites. They were Abraham's seed. They were keeping the Sabbath. They were paying their tithe. They were attending the synagogue. They were trying to keep the law. They'd missed the gospel. I'll tell you something else. Some of these fellows, they spoke well of Christ. Nicodemus came and said, I know you're from God. Nicodemus was not a believer. Nicodemus was not born again. Nicodemus didn't know Christ. Nicodemus didn't know God. But he said, I know you come from God. No man could do what you do except God be with him. Pilate said, Pilate was no Christian, but he spoke well of Christ. He said, I find no fault in him. And the soldiers, they were not Christians, and they said, never man spake like this. They came to arrest him one day and came back without him, and the authorities said, how come you didn't bring him? Where is he? They said, we couldn't touch him. Nobody ever spake like that man. The centurion stood at the foot of the cross and said, surely this man was the Son of God. So a man can claim to God as his Father, and he can speak well of Christ, and he can even reform the outward man. Now, we know that the Pharisee in the temple was not saved. He was not a child of God. We know that because Christ said he went home not justified. He said the publican went home justified rather than this man. But do you know what this man said? I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. I tithe, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything I have. I give alms to the poor. I am not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not like that publican. You see what I'm saying? A religious man in the name of religion and even in the name of God can produce a whole lot of outward morality and piety and it not be faith. This man had no faith. He wasn't justified. And then they get excited over a kingdom. You hear people talk about Christ is coming and set up a kingdom and rule in Jerusalem and a millennial reign and all of these things. They get so excited over the kingdom and the good times that we're all going to have. Well, a crowd did that at Jerusalem too. When Christ rode into town on the donkey, well, they threw their clothes out in front of him and let the donkey walk on their clothes. And they threw palm branches and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord. These people wanted a kingdom. They wanted a king. They wanted a Jewish reign. They wanted their David's glory restored and they just went wild about it. A few days later, they were hollering, crucify him. Crucify him. And then they experienced sorrow over sin. Judas came back with the 30 pieces of silver for which he had betrayed his Lord. And he said, I'm sorry. I betrayed innocent blood. And he threw it on the floor. Esau sought repentance with tears. He sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. We run into that all the way through the Bible. People showing great remorse after they're caught, after they've lost out. King Saul after God had taken his spirit and the kingdom away from him, he did a lot of crying after David. And they give large gifts to the church. You say, well, that man's a good giver. Well, Ananias and Sapphira were good givers too. And God killed both of them by lying to the Holy Spirit. Well, he was baptized and joined the church. So did Simon Magus. And Peter said, your heart's not right with God. You're in the gall of bitterness. But they've been preachers. They preached. Demas did too. So did Judas. But they hold an office in the church. Judas was the only officer the early disciples had. He was the treasurer. They didn't have another office. Well, they perform great works in the name of the Lord. Listen to the people at judgment. Matthew 7. Lord, we preached in your name, cast out devils in your name, did many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. You hear them say that all the time on television. In the name of Jesus. That's exactly what these people say at the judgment. We preached in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. But I shall profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Yes, sir. Works of religion without heart faith are works of iniquity. They're deceptive and deceiving and not honoring to God. And all this proved to be sham and hypocrisy. Christ said, you are they that justify yourselves before men. Your religion is to be seen of men. Your prayers are to be heard of men. Your giving is to get a reward from men. All of these things you do to be seen and heard and praised and glorified of men. God knows your hearts. That's what I'm talking about. Heart faith. God knows your heart. And that which is highly esteemed before men and looked upon by men with great honor and praise is an abomination to God Almighty. Whew. Well, I told you I was going to talk plain to you. Woe unto the preacher that won't. I know true saving faith does involve the mind. Yes, it does. Man can't believe what he doesn't know. He can't believe what he hadn't heard. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they're not believed? And how they're going to believe in him of whom they're not heard? And how they're going to hear without a preacher? I know in saving faith, the mind and the understanding are certainly involved. I've got to know some things. I've got to believe God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. These are facts. I got to believe that God is and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've got to believe that in Adam all die. By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. I know that. That's a head fact. That's a fact of experience. That's a fact that you know and I know. We're sinners. So much easier to do wrong than to do right. Don't you find that true? It's a lot easier to get upset than to stay peaceful and restful and happy all the time, isn't it? And I believe that God, in eternity past, determined to save a people. That's just so. That's fact. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Those are facts. Salvation's of the Lord. Redemption is pictured and patterned in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ came to this earth and fulfilled all that was pictured and promised and patterned and typified him in the Old Testament. I know those things, those are facts. Jesus Christ was born of a woman, made under the law, walked this earth in human flesh, was tempted and tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. He went to the cross of Calvary and he died. Anybody listening to me that doesn't know that? Anybody listening to me that doesn't believe that? Look at your calendar, 1991, 92, 93 A.D., in the year of our Lord. 200, 300 years B.C., before Christ. Anybody doubt that? He died on the cross, was buried and rose again. But saving faith, This redeeming faith, this faith that these fellows over here, though they produced all these things outwardly, never had. This is a heart work. A heart work. It's a work by the Spirit of God using the Word of God, the seed of God on the inner man, the innermost being, the soul, the heart, where you are. Not where everybody else dwells, where you live. My son, God said, give me your heart. If I have your heart, I have everything else. But you can start rationing and tithing parts of yourself and parts of your possession, and that person not have your heart. You see, if you love your wife with all your heart, she has anything you have. But you may give her $100 a week or $200 a week to spend on groceries and things she wants to, and she doesn't have your heart. My son, give me your heart. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart. The Lord saveth such as be of a broken heart. The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken and contrite heart. Keep thine heart, out of it are the issues of life. Christ said, these people draw nigh to me with their lips, with their hands, with their feet, but their hearts are far from me. That's the problem. These people draw nigh to me with their lips. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. Whoop-de-doo. Excitement. Their lips. Blah, blah, blah. And waving their hands and walking up and down aisles and dancing around, cutting up. But God said their hearts. There's the problem. A man may never open his mouth or wave his hands and his heart be knit to the soul of the Savior. I'm telling you the truth. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's not a mental assent to a few facts. Well, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Sure, who doesn't? The devil knows that. My son, give me your heart. That's where the work of grace is done. With a heart man believeth. Listen to me. Listen to me. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's heart faith that brings a man into a living union with Christ. Not mental agreement with facts. You don't walk down an aisle to get to Christ. He's not down there. You come to Christ without moving a muscle, without moving a leg or a hand or a foot or a hand or a hair. You come to Christ in your heart. It's heart faith that makes a person a new creature in Christ. God said, I'll take that old stony heart out and give you a heart of flesh. That's God's work. That's something you don't do, the preacher doesn't do, and the soul winner doesn't do, and nobody else can do. God does that. He said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll write my word on your heart. It's the heart. It's a heart faith that causes a person to forsake everything and follow Christ. You might get those church members to come to church on Sunday once in a while and do a few duties. But I'll tell you this, the man that forsakes all and follows Christ, that man's had a heart work. And all the persuasion and pulling and promising and rewards and whips and laws and everything else does not motivate him. He's motivated by love for the Redeemer, who has his heart. It's heart faith that makes a person love God and love others. It's heart faith that produces the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. That cannot be produced except from one fountain, the heart. And only the heart where Christ dwells. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Those are attitudes. Those are not outward acts. Those are attitudes. That's a spirit of a person. And that comes from the heart. And that does not come from a natural, stony heart. That comes from a new heart. It's heart faith that makes a wife submissive. It's heart faith that makes a husband loving. It's heart faith that makes a child obedient. It's heart faith that makes a workman a diligent laborer. It's heart faith that makes a boss a generous and kind boss. It's heart faith that rejoices in Christ and has no confidence in the flesh. It's heart faith that makes a person a giving person, generous, forgiving. It's heart faith that says, not my will, but thy will be done. You can't whip that out of a natural heart. That's a subdued heart. That's a broken heart. That's a bowing heart. The man that says, not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord. I'll challenge you to produce that with all the aisle walking in the world. It will not do it. That's the reason the churches are made up of like revolving doors, people coming in, going out, coming in, going out. 2,000 members, 100 in prayer meeting, coming in, going out, you know. There's no heart faith. It's heart faith that continues in spite of trial or trouble or difficulty. Why, you can offend a church member next Sunday morning. Some of you preachers, offend one of your leading members and watch them quit. Replace that Sunday school teacher with somebody else and watch him quit. Tell your choir leader he's not going to lead the choir anymore and you got somebody better, and he'll quit. It's heart faith that makes a man continue in spite of trial and trouble and conflict and difficulty. It's heart faith that'll worship God in sunshine or in shadow. It's heart faith that looks on the things of others more than your own welfare. It's heart faith that counts all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. It's heart faith that said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. It's heart faith that says, I'm content wherever God puts me with whatever God gives me. Oh, that I may know Him. It's heart faith that lives and speaks and prays and walks and gives for the glory of God in all things. That's heart faith. And that, my dear friends, is saving faith. Now, that's just so. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And I'm telling you, it troubles me in this day that we're trying to do mechanically and outwardly and with human means what cannot be done. And that is, bring forth children into the kingdom of God. They have to be born. Born of God, born of the Spirit, born from above, born of the Word of God. And it can't be done any other way. Now see, let me show you something. In closing, let me give you four things. Whatever outward experiences and feelings and works and decisions and professions a religionist may make or produce, there are four things that a religionist cannot produce. He cannot do it for the life of him. He cannot do it. And all four of these are essential to heart faith. The first one is this. A natural religious man cannot produce a heart broken toward God over his own sins. Read Psalm 51. There's a man with a broken heart. Lord, listen today. Have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness, according to the tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me from mine iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. My iniquities and sins are ever before me. You'll never get an unsaved religionist to talk about his sin. He'll talk about everybody else's. He'll talk about sin in general. He'll talk about everybody else's sins. He'll talk about everybody else's faults. He'll be like the publican in the temple. He'll down the publican, but he won't acknowledge his sins and his transgressions. David said, against thee have I sinned. And not only did David acknowledge his sins and transgressions, but he justified God in damning him. He said, Lord, you're clear when you judge me and just when you condemn me. That can only come from a broken heart. Secondly, another thing a religionist cannot produce. He cannot acknowledge that he has no righteousness and no goodness. Now, man may talk about his sins, he may talk about his faults, he may talk about what a rascal he used to be, but he's going to brag on what he's doing for God now. He's going to brag on the fact he preaches or sings in the choir or teaches or gives a little money. He's going to brag about that. And he doesn't realize that even his righteousnesses are filthy rags. Even his goodness. There's enough sin in our prayers to damn us. Our tears need to be bathed in the blood of Christ. Our repentance needs to be repented of. Nothing we do pleases God in the flesh. Our righteousnesses. We repent of those too. But a natural heart can't see that. Thirdly, the false religionist will never acknowledge that salvation is wholly, completely, and totally of God. Salvation's of the Lord. The Lord quickeneth whom he will. It's of God. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God that we're born. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. That old leper knew it. He came in his scaly, rotten, corrupt condition and looked at Christ and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. But today, the preacher's looking at the sinner and saying, if you will, God will. If you will, God will. You got it backwards. If he will, you will. He'll make you willing in the day of his power. But his will is what determines your salvation. You believe that? Well, it's so anyway. Salvation's of the Lord. Last of all, an unsaved religionist can never receive Jesus Christ alone, plus nothing, minus nothing, as his wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to Christ Jesus, and Christ alone I cling. Want this message? Listen to it again. Heart faith. Send $2. We'll mail it to you along with another message. Till next week, God bless you.